afternoon, and welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. And after that disclaimer, you never know what you'll get.
No.
Anything
exactly.
is fair.
It's just entertainment.
It's just entertainment.
That's right.
And by the way, we've never met these people. We have no idea who they are, and they broke into the studio. Oh, they forgot to put that on. So my name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
You can go to wethepeopleradio.us. You can go to .net, .org, .biz. You can go to everything with .com, actually. So it's pretty wide open.
Yeah.
And the archives for all of our shows back to 2010 are on there. So you can listen whenever you want. So if you're not around on Sundays, you know, I can't listen. I'm not home on Sunday. Well, don't listen to it on Sunday. Listen to it on a different day.
Yeah. Commercial free.
Thousands of people around the world, oddly enough. who would have thought? Kind of makes me laugh.
You still have a big Ukrainian following?
Yes. And the Netherlands is coming up. A quick second on them.
Really?
Yep. Netherlands. Ever since we started doing a bunch of shows on South Africa, and excuse me, but how ahead of the curve were we?
That's right.
So if you are listening to all this media stupidity, especially if you're listening to CNN stupidity on South Africa, I would really encourage you to go back through our archives. So that's at wethepeopleradio.us and listen to the shows we've done on South Africa. There's a lot of information on the pages for each show. So it isn't just listening. If you'd rather just read the stuff and not listen, I don't know why you wouldn't listen. The music's usually pretty fun. you know, if you don't want to listen, if you're, you know, a listening hater, read the information. At least you can get educated. Because I got to tell you, our media is doing a really bad job of it.
Yeah, nothing going on down there. You
especially
need to know about.
On South Africa and lots of other things.
Exactly.
And thanks to Ken, Karen, Lynn, all the individual people who sponsor the show, and some of them who have for years. God love you. And a great way to do that on the website. I mean, you know, they sound like the. They sound like the DNC with their emails they send out. Chip in $3, you know, or trying to get somebody elected to the governorship.
Just
$3, we'll do it. But honestly, it is kind of a the war of tiny amounts, which is very helpful. So thanks to all of you who do that already. And if you have suggestions for topics, if you've read a really great book and you'd like to hear from the author, or you know, you see somebody on TV or hear them on the radio and they only get 2 minutes and you think they need more than 2 minutes, shoot us an email or a phone call. Our email and emails and phone numbers are right there on the website.
And pretty much any topic, you know, as long as it's something that you think folks would be interested in.
Yeah. I mean, if you want us to interview
the
girl with the buggy eyes in New York, probably going to pass on that.
Yeah.
Be a short interview. Yeah. Just because I'm not sure I could follow her line of logic. But
get to the nice thing is somebody else would pay for it if we interviewed her, though.
We're not sponsoring it. That's just stupid. So today we're going to talk about something that I know that we had posted, and I'm not sure if we actually did a show on it, but it was last August. And honestly, I kind of forgot about it, so I'm assuming everybody else did too. But thank goodness for Dr. Lyle Rapacki, who pays attention and, you know, keeps us on the straight and narrow. And then after you hear us all three together, you'll be like, none of these people are on the straight and narrow, but okay.
Yeah.
It's a story we like to tell. Dr. Rapacki is a private sector intelligence, behavioral analysis, and threat assessment specialist. How's that?
That's a mouthful.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And I actually...
And there's not many of them left.
They've all switched sides. They're all busy lurking together
That's
and sending
right.
each other nasty text messages. Since June of 2010, Dr. Rapacki has provided selected members of the Arizona legislature intelligence briefings on border security and threats to Arizona sovereignty. He also receives, analyzes, and disseminates critical intelligence from and to law enforcement, intelligence, and governmental communities. He's the author of a dozen white papers, bulletins, and briefings, many of which have received distribution to and by local, state, and federal enforcement, intelligence, and public safety agencies nationwide. So sometimes he's on with Claire Lopez. Sometimes he's on with our friend Bruce Moran. But today it's just Lyle.
Yeah. Going to help us make sense of the madness.
We shanghaied Lyle on Labor Day.
Yeah.
How smart was that?
No. And we're going to learn about what and why this madness is going on in the media and make sense of
it. And how they're trying to bury the president. I mean, anybody who thinks this stuff's all happening randomly, I think by the end of the program today, you'll have changed your mind. So
it's on purpose.
Lyle, are you in there? You're awfully quiet if you are in there. Did we have you in the cone of silence?
It's Now it's just been taken off. I see. It says now Lyle can talk. Well, a couple of things. First of all, this show is just for entertainment. That's what it says.
So that's right.
There's really nothing I need to say that's informative or enlightening. It's just entertainment.
That's right.
One thing.
It's all just entertainment.
It's all. It's
sit
just
back and relax. There's nothing to see here. It's just entertainment.
Secondly, it's so great to be with Bill and you again.
And you again.
Next time, you, could you call me maybe, an hour or so before the show instead of calling me 15 minutes before the show and going, hey, our more preferred guests couldn't show up, so what do you do?
Hey, Lyle, everybody's busy.
I appreciate being on standby. I do, and I'm honored, but I just really think that you can give me at least an hour.
I told her not to do that. That is just not right.
Bill, I know you did. Thank you for having my back.
Oh, sure, no problem,
Lyle. Yeah, Bill completely knocks himself out to book guests for the show. Oh, wait, never. And he works so hard on the website.
Aaron calls and says, well, what are you doing Sunday morning? I don't know what. Why? Well, all of our other plans or Tier 8 guests couldn't make it because they're going away. They actually have some time to relax, and we know you don't do anything. So, I go, well, you know something? I can break away from the Walmart with the other specialists because we all hang out together down there.
All you threat assessment people, actually, you should be hanging out at Walmart, all joking aside, because they found, like, the bulk of the stolen vehicles and the crime are happening in the Walmart parking lot here. And so it's probably everywhere else, too.
They give us a little Subway sandwich and some coffee, and that's our pay, and we're happy. Threat assessment and behavioral analysis people, we're pretty easy.
That's right. Think how bad it would be if you weren't there.
It's all about the blue vest.
They just throw us some food, and we're good. You know, we'll dance for peanuts. So I'll come on your radio show because all of your A guests couldn't make it.
Yeah, well, say what you will, but you haven't lived until you've had a Walmart corn dog. I'll tell you what, that's living large right there.
And I don't think Claire will ever show up on the radio again with me after the last couple of times we did this, and I don't know, I kind of made fun of her.
We had to give her a hard time because she always has to go. What's up with that? Like, we plan it out, we get it all planned out, and then bam, she's got to go. It's like, no, not going.
Got to go. Bye-bye.
Not going. Brutal.
No, actually, Claire and I did a, for those of you not knowing who we're talking about, excuse me, I got so choked up.
Oh, them, those people.
Claire Lopez, a former CIA operator, not for the phone, not the 911 phone call.
No, that was my job.
Yes, it was, Bill, and you did very well, by the way.
When they got rid of all those wires, they got rid of me.
Is this the party to whom I'm speaking?
Oh, man, I'm choking to death over here.
You don't even have any fires. What are you choking over?
Excuse me.
That is fun.
This will be good on playback for all the people down in the Netherlands who are listening.
They're like, get rid of that guy from Arizona. He's coughing the whole time.
Oh, my gosh.
See, we don't cough anymore because our lungs are so full of smoke, we can't afford to expel that much air all at one time.
Oh, my gosh. I swallowed wrong. I'm laughing at you guys listening. And then, let me get serious.
And then don't get serious yet. Let's take a quick break.
Yeah, we're going to have to reboot. I think we we're going to have to start over.
We're going to have to make some phone calls.
That first segment was very productive. Thanks for coming on, Lyle.
Oh, very entertaining, I hope.
Dr. Lyle Rapacki is incredibly talented. He'll be back doing his regular shtick right after this break. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us, and we'll be right back.
good. They want you all body and soul. Then it's just your body. Then they go, what shall we? Won't you take me to Funky Town? Won't you take me to Funky Town? Won't you take me to Funky Town? Won't you take me to Funky Town?
You're Funky Town.
Who would know?
Yeah.
You know, I did this at midnight last night, and I don't know, Funky Town just seemed funny. But in light of the last segment, it seems even funnier.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, Lyle, Lyle, Lyle. Hey, remember we talked about doing a show about nothing?
Well, we're off to a great start.
That's exactly what I was telling Bill. I'm like, oh, we should never have discussed that. That was a mistake.
All right. I'm serious. I'm a professional.
We're no longer in Funky Town.
I love that song. That was great. I was dancing.
I'm like, I was dancing.
It's just Bill, you, and me on it right now. Is everybody else is hung up now? They're going,
oh, man. What else is on?
Everybody's like, thank God this is radio. People are like, you should do a podcast. I'm like, I don't know if that's a good idea.
Oh, there's got to be a cooking show on or something. I can listen to.
Or better yet, golf. You're probably not allowed to cap on golf in Arizona, though. That's probably...
Yeah,
like
that's sacrilegious
law.
Right there. You back
thou
away
shalt not, thou shalt not disc golf.
All right. A news update. I know a lot of people, or many people, maybe at least five, six people, were very upset over what happened in Mexico just a couple of weeks ago when they found that Islamic Center, that the...
training the children.
Compound. And then they made the arrest and they released, they captured 11 young boys and girls, and they were able to take them out. And then they went to court and the five adults were released. And people just freaked out all over the place, myself included. But there was a, an administrative snafu that they couldn't prosecute at that time. And you know something? I would rather they let them loose in the name of constitutional rules of law than to go ahead and prosecute them as heinous as they are and what they did. Now, the good news here is even though they released them, and I do believe they should have because there was misfilings and improper procedures by the district attorney and all that, the federal government came back through the U.S. District Court in New Mexico and arrested the five adults on weapons violations and being illegally in the country here and unlawfully in possession of firearms, ammunition, and things of that. And then they added...
And that included the three they released?
Child abuse charges and things like that. So I just a little bit of an update because I've had a number of emails from people going, well,
yeah, how did this happen?
Yeah.
So they went in and rearrested them after they released them?
They released them, Bill, and again, rightly so. There were. It'd be like if you were that one time that you know you got arrested. I know we're not to talk about this, but the one time you got arrested for jaywalking.
Right.
Yeah. And yeah.
Codename jaywalking. Yeah.
Well, we had the you were dancing Funky Town.
Yeah.
And all
yeah.
That.
I got you. Yeah. That's enough.
It was just not. It was not a pretty sight. But anyway, when they arrested you, they did not Mirandize you and give you your rights. And they began to question you and other things. And then it comes to court, and they didn't file the right paperwork and one thing after another. So, rightly so, they should have released you, and they did, as you remember.
Right.
Because I came down. Right. I came down and posted the bail for $1.85 or something.
We don't need bail anymore.
Yeah.
We're in California nothing costs money.
That's right.
Everything
in California,
is free.
There's no more bail, so I don't have to worry about that anymore.
You can show your...
Well, you guys are a progressive state, and...
Yeah.
It's going to be
right.
So
yep.
Good.
In many ways.
So you said that the federal government came back, and did they go after the... Including the three that were released, did they come back and indict them?
They indicted all five.
Okay.
The Janie, I think it is, Lavelle, or I don't know, I'm not good at names. Janie Lavelle, she's a Haitian national that was illegally in the United States. And then the other ones from Muslim countries also were here illegally, and they all had criminal charges filed in federal court for firearms and ammunition possession. And then on top of that, they added or they refiled charges on child abuse, things, child neglect, things of that nature. So they all have been rearrested after they were released. And now the proper paperwork and all that has been furnished by the U.S. District Court, the U.S. Attorney. So,
Well, is there any chance that was like maybe the original plan was to get them in federal hands rather than local state authority?
You know, that is a great question, and I don't have any answer for you.
Because yeah, when that happened, I thought, you know, that sounds kind of fishy. They either didn't file that so they could come back later and you know, maybe follow them to the beehive or maybe bring in the feds to maybe lay some heavier charges on them. It just didn't sound right, but maybe the DA did foul up.
Really, it's an insightful question, Bill, and they had already gone to, quote-unquote, the beehive, the compound, so they were already there, and they had taken possession of it, so there was no need to release them, follow mm-hmm. them back, and all that, but it's a great question, seriously. No, I think it was, I think it was a snafu locally by the district attorney's office that just, I don't know. Sometimes mistakes happen.
Let's He's going to have to spend a little extra money on his next election, I think.
Something, yeah. Somebody needs to take
if anybody can find him.
But anyway, so thanks for allowing me to make that little PSA, because a lot of people were really upset about it.
Sure.
Even so much as, okay, even if we leave the terrorism stuff off and all that, leave all that alone. Okay, never happened. We still had, conventionally, child abuse, child neglect. We had a child that died there,
sure.
Was not getting proper medical treatment. And and to show you, or to at least share the obscene of this whole thing, when that child died, it was a male child, it was because he was not receiving proper medical attention for seizure disorder. And he had a seizure and died. And one of the heads of the compound there told the other children, he's going to come back as Jesus, and he's going to tell us which schools and shopping centers to commit jihad with. And he'll tell us, and then we're to follow what he says. I'm not making this up. So,
unbelievable.
And that would make sense, because Muhammad had seizure disorder, so that's pretty pretty relevant, actually.
Yeah.
Well, and so, when I got the initial report saying that they released them because of administrative error, I'm going, okay, forget the problems with the federals, the jihadi, and inciting all of this stuff. Just child neglect. But it's all been remedied, and thankfully,
good.
Great.
Good, yeah. Yeah, they deserve everything they get. That's just a horrible story.
Everything they have coming.
But you know something? It's also stirred up a little bit of discussion, and that's not, I know, the focus today. We're talking some other things, but you remember back, I think Claire and I even discussed it. I wrote a paper on it. Don't ask me when. I have to go back and pull it out, but I'll send it to you.
Someday.
Then I think Claire and I discussed it at least a year ago on your show, if not a wee bit longer, but because we talked about the training compounds, about 23 of them around the country here. And a lot of people, at least initially, especially those in the conventional side of the aisle, thought that was conspiratorial thinking and tinfoil hat and all that. It's not. Unfortunately, we have centers like this one in New Mexico that were actually training people, in this case here, kids 11 years of age, to be jihadis and to go out and commit mayhem and all of that. So it has brought the topic back up. There is more interest, like, is this happening in other parts of the country? And I'm just praying that is a subject matter that we can bring back out And maybe if some more of your A-list people have to go to the lake or play golf and you're reaching down for the sea level, maybe Claire and I could come on one day and talk about this.
Yeah, we'll see if we can make that happen.
Claire, the vanishing guest.
Bill, I'm trusting you because right. You know,
I've proven to be.
Just call me an hour ago saying, you know, what are you doing? Well, I'm trying to eat lunch. Why? What are you doing? Well, I need you on the show because all of our great people have been canceled. So, you're not doing anything.
I have this Trump playbook thing that you emailed me, and I need somebody to talk about it. Yeah. The heck, we can't talk about it. What do we know?
Well, we're going to take a break, but we want to talk about this Trump playbook again. We talked about, how long ago was that?
I don't know that we actually did it. I don't know if you just emailed it to me and then I posted it. But
I think it was a year ago because I just sent it to a couple of unnamed people. And in it, top of my note, I said, you'll notice the date on this almost a year ago, August, I think it was August 10th of last year. I sent it selectively. And I believe, out of courtesy, I sent it to Aaron and others. But mm-hmm. I don't think we ever discussed it.
Well, yeah,
this is an act. Playbook. I think it's a 49-page playbook that outlines the program that is being followed, not by just the Democrats, but by all the socialist movement people against the Trump administration. The plan was during the very early days of his presidency, meaning. You have the inauguration, and they really believed that they could implement this program and within 6 months either have him removed from office or so neutered that he would do nothing else for the next 3 years, and then in 2020 they could rectify the problem by having Trump out. So this is a playbook that they are following, and we'll talk about it.
Yeah, because it's interesting to look at it now, something that was kind of brought to light a year ago, and where we are today with it, I think it'll be a real eye-opener.
Yeah.
So, all right,
yes, sir.
We'll take a break?
We'll take a really quick break, and then we'll come back with our guest, Dr. Lyle Rapacki, the only guy who was available today, but you're going to like him.
That's right. Don't let that scare you off.
Don't let that worry you. Oh, my gosh. We'll be right back. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears without crying. Now I want to understand. I have done all that I could to see the evil and the good without hiding. You must help me if you can. Doctor, my eyes, tell me what is wrong. Was I unwise to leave them open for so long?
I
the rails way before that, let me tell you.
Lyle, I was seriously channeling today, yesterday, when I did this.
You... Okay, we're not laughing anymore. We're getting serious.
That's right.
We've already messed up 35 minutes of this big show.
Even though we just played Crazy Train?
I like the way you talk.
I'm getting emails from the Netherlands going, is this all there is?
This is the big show I've been waiting all weekend
for. That part at the beginning where I said some people don't like to listen, they only like to read? Well, for all those of you who think it might be boring, well, it's not going to be boring. It's just not.
If it's okay with you, before we get into the big kick there, how about if I lay some groundwork?
Do it.
And stop me. And you, it's your show. I'm not taking it over.
Oh, you are too. Just do it. That's what we agreed on, wasn't it?
You can take over. The moving people will be in there in about 30 minutes. I'll be putting my desk in and a few other things. So don't let that interfere with our interview here. Just still work around it.
All right, I'll stop writing the show from here on then. We won't need it.
There's no rules anyway,
mm-mm.
Bill. We're just doing
it. That's right.
If you look at most of the debates that are taking place today, it appears that Democrats are crushing Republicans, that the Republicans don't know really what to say. So you've got liberals versus conservatives, and the liberals are able to stir up a lot of emotion where the conservatives try to stay on point. Well, this is creating some angst because most Americans are under a mass hypnosis. There's so much media, so much instant attention to anything nowadays with Facebooks and all the other stuff. Plus, we're overloaded with information. So most people are really tuning out things. And what they look for and maybe respond to is the emotionality. They're stirred by the emotions. And the thought here is that by most Americans is that Democrats and Republicans basically have an unchangeable view of what's right and what's wrong. That traditionally, even though we may be talking about different things in the political arenas, that both parties, both sides are basically talking about the good of America and the constitutional form of country and morality and all that. It's just not happening. And so most Americans are tuning out when those individuals who stand up and talk from a logical, sequential standpoint begin to do such. They're not buying into it. Whereas on the other side, they've been taught to be explosive, highly emotional, highly charged, very sensitive. And therefore, it's being considered, oh, they have passion. They really care about the topic they're talking about. It doesn't matter if it's Obamacare or borders or taking care of the hungry. It doesn't matter the topic. Look at their passion. Look at all the things that they're saying and doing here that really tells us their heart's in it. Or look at these other guys. They're talking policy. They're talking programs. Well, what's really happened is that Saul Alinsky, the famous communist Marxist who Hillary Clinton and so many others have cut their teeth on, and that's proven. That's not my opinion. It's all proven. In fact, Hillary Clinton, on her dissertation, she dedicated it to Saul Alinsky when she was graduating. So you go back and look at Saul Alinsky, a very, very blunt, very candid Marxist. And what he taught his followers and what has become the dominant theme in the Democrat Party in the last probably 2 to 3 years, though it's been percolating, is that power rules. Without power, you can do nothing. Well, if you stop right there, in one sense, that makes some sense. But the Alinsky model is do whatever is necessary to gain power. And through power, you transform America, you transform our culture, you transform our principles, our values, our heritage. Power. Children that are conservatives and who have grown up in conservative families have been taught to obey tradition, to obey morality, to turn the other cheek, to be polite. On the other side of the coin, You've got people who have bought into the Alinsky model, which is you do whatever is necessary. You use every trick at your disposal because the goal here is to obtain or to seek power and then to obtain it. So you say what you have to say because the end result is I will have the power. And once I have the power and I'm in office, then I can transform America. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah, boy, that sounds very familiar.
Vaguely reminiscent of a bad
a fundamental transformation.
That's correct. And what no one really asked except Joe the plumber is transform it into what? What are you transforming? I mean, I think the three of us, as conservatives, I'm assuming, we could say, yeah, there's problems in America. There's things that we would, if we were all president or king, we would do some things different. Well, I think so. But I think the three of us would say, but we would want to enhance the gift that has been given to us, the present that has been given to us through this republic, if we would keep it, as Benjamin Franklin said, is to make America, if you will, great again, because like Ronald Reagan said, and there's where Trump borrowed it, is America is to be great again. And Reagan's model was because he saw what was taking place under Jimmy Carter, which was the Alinsky model. It was Marxism. And now, after a number of years of Reagan being gone, we've had, in one form or another, either blatant Marxism or more subtle, seductive Marxism, to the point where we're on the verge of losing our Constitution and our Republic. Alinsky would say, the ends justify the means. So you do whatever you have to do to gather power, keep power, and push anyone away from the power. The traditionalists, however, believe in the traditional process that we, the people, come in and we all have a nice discussion, and we're all talking about things from a valued-centered standpoint. That is not what's taking place. It is not taking place in any stretch of the imagination. And what is occurring is the Alinsky model has now come mainstream, where these candidates in the Democrat Party, and they're now calling themselves socialist Democrats. I'm not making this up. You can.
They're really upfront about it, and that's what they call themselves.
Because I mean, I think a year ago when I, right as I think I was releasing that playbook, you know, I started to discuss this, and in a few speeches in a few places, people are like, socialist Democrat? No, no, you're talking about socialist Democrat. So I'm talking about Marxism. And I'm talking about the Democrat Party is in the process of converting into a full-blown Marxist party. So now you're going to have a conservative party and a Marxist party. And that didn't go over great a little over a year ago, although Bernie Sanders was hanging out there saying, I'm a communist. And he is. I'm not making it up. He very candid says, I'm a communist, and I believe in the communist model that should come into America here. Mm-hmm. So when you have people who are following the Alinsky philosophy and model, which you now have throughout the Democrat Party, you have people who are completely absorbed into not only Marxism, but there are no rules. Whatever is necessary for me to beat you guys, to beat Aaron and Bill on this radio, there is no rules. There is no politeness, courtesy, ethics. There's no right or wrong as far as I'm concerned. It's whatever I can do, because at the end of this debate, I'm going to own this radio station or whatever. You know, I'm going to run the radio station.
Well, you can lie, you can deceive, and if violence works, hey, let's get to it.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that's where the Antifa guys come in.
That great point. No, and so now you have subcultures of this with Antifa, like you said, Aaron, Black Lives Matter. Good night. Even MS-13, which is a totally different character. But now they've been included because you see, you got all these.
Well, these guys are all giving sympathy speeches about them. They're not animals. They're just people that are, like, incredibly evil and act like animals.
Yeah. Well, this is the same thing Europe's been dealing with for years and years. You look at Greece and Italy, I mean, they had a socialist party and they had the conservative party. And that's what's happening here. We're going to end up with a choice. And when people get tired of the conservative side, their other choice is going to be socialism.
And God help us if that ever...
Let me see how well that's worked out for them.
Well, but that's what it's marching to, Bill.
Yes.
And
yes.
President Trump last week, I think it was on Wednesday, don't write me if it turned out to be Thursday or Tuesday, but last week, you know, because people go, hey, it wasn't Wednesday, it was Wednesday.
Yeah, we don't even know where we were Wednesday. So Wednesday, sure.
He was, what he said to 100 evangelical leaders who were having dinner at the White House, he was thanking them and saying to them, look, guys, this midterm election is truly one of the most critical our nation's ever faced, because if we lose the Congress, we're losing it to socialist Democrats, Marxists, and they are absolutely intent in changing our form of government and our heritage and value system. And so we're really up against something here that has been percolating for a long time. You go back to the late 60s, the Democrat convention in Chicago, where students for the Democratic Society, which was a forerunner of the communist, what they have now, and Antifa and all the rest of that, they were battling the police. Anybody can go back on video and archives and look, and you'll see the big riots that were taking place right outside the Chicago Democrat National Convention. And Hubert Humphrey was inside trying to become the nominee, and McGovern was racing also, and all that. And outside you had all these young people who were promoting a socialist agenda. Now, they weren't that blunt about it, but it was there. Now come ahead to where we're at today, 50 years later. Am I close? 50, 55 years later?
Yeah.
And those kids who are 15, 18, add 50 years to that, they're 68, let's say, okay?
Yeah, these are people who should know better, but they've been steeped in this for a long time.
Absolutely. And now, you know, you've got Bernie Sanders, who's 70-some-odd years old. Well, that would have been in his era. You have others who have grown up and who are now leading political dialogue along the lines of the Alinsky model. So they've come of age, in one sense, if you will, and they are now pushing the envelope with the idea, the dedication, if you will, to get rid of our heritage, our values, our principles, morality, as we've been taught in this nation, to do away with anything that has to do with the Judeo-Christian heritage that our forefathers gave to us. Trash it. Trash all of that and accept a socialist model like Venezuela.
Because that's working so well. Hey, so on that note, speaking of the police.
Cuba, Honduras, anywhere. You look
sure.
Russia. But again, going back to what I was saying in the beginning here, when you have emotionalism on your side, more often than not, people are going to be moved by the emotional, the passion versus the logic. And that's one of the things Alinsky taught his followers, and that's part of the schooling that they've gone through over the last couple of years. And that book, the playbook that I released to y'all, that's part of what's taking place. They have now a very structured playbook that they're following to put Trump in a corner.
And you can, as you read the things, you can tell. I mean, you can see them. We've been watching this. They wrote this. I was just looking at the little footnote on it. The Washington Free Beacon got a hold of this January 19th through 21st, 2017. So it was right there at the beginning of his presidency.
Yes, ma'am.
Democracy Matters Florida Donor Retreat at Turnberry Island in Florida. So anyway, that is posted on our site. I can't, you have to be part of something else in order to download it, but you can open it and read it. So you can find that at wethepeopleradio.us. We will be right back with Dr. Lyle Rapacki. And speaking of the police, here you go.
Every breath you take, every move you make, every bond you break, every step you take, I'll be watching you. Every single day, and every word you say.
My analyst told me that I was right out of my head, the way he described it. He said I'd be better dead than alive. I didn't listen to his jive. I knew all along that he was all wrong, and I knew that he thought I was crazy, but I'm not, oh no. My analyst told me that I was right out of my head. He said I need treatment, but I'm not that easily led. He said I was the type that was most inclined, when out of his sight, to be out of my mind. And he thought I was nuts, no more ifs or ands or buts.
Just getting the good part.
They say as a child I appeared a little bit wild with all my crazy ideas, but I knew what was happening. I knew I was a genius. What's so strange?
Bernie Sanders theme song.
You know that you're a wizard at three. I knew that this was meant to be.
Yeah, there you go.
That was a genius.
That was the Bernie Sanders theme song. There you go, Lyle.
Or Miss Cortez.
All those people that are pushing these weird ideas, this is the song that they march to. It's kind of, they probably skip more because it was hard to march to that one. Probably more skipping, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, with flowers. Exactly.
So we're faced right now with a choice. And unfortunately, I don't think a lot of people recognize it, but we're faced with a choice of remaining a free republic or sliding into socialism, which will not work.
I don't think you get to slide there. I think it's kind of like a door slamming in your face.
Well, I think once you've reached that tipping point, but I think people are being lured into this, thinking it's going to be the, what do they call it, the perfect society where everybody is happy and everything is free and everybody has free education and a home and it's all paid for. It never works. It never works.
No, but that's part of the emotional model, Bill. I mean, if I could, I hope I do this well. I know, because those poor people in the Netherlands who are tuning in.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And don't forget the Ukrainians.
And you are our third choice for this perfect analysis.
Love it. No,
go see Ukrainians. Go see.
You know something, you guys? If you did a show about nothing, we would understand that. Oh man,
we would probably be totally on point.
Yeah.
somebody make us do a show.
If I came to the studio and I promised you free education, free health care, free housing, free cars, free gas, I just went down the list of stuff, and you could play golf all day or paddleboard or whatever. Unless you were a critical thinker and going, you know something, there is nothing free. And secondly, what is your motive by doing this? What are you attempting to accomplish? If you begin to ask those questions, which people are not because they've been dumbed down the last two generations in our higher education departments, you would accept it.
Mm-hmm.
And by accepting all this passion and emotionality of, I'm giving to you, I want you to have freedom and freedom and freedom and
more
freedom and free coffee.
Yeah,
it's true.
And there's so many people out there that are saying, you know, it's worth a shot. Let's give it a try.
That's it.
But you don't get
there
to give
go.
It a try.
And now, so I'm running for office, and I keep saying, you're right, Bill. May I call you Bill? Sure, Bill. We're all together in this, okay? And let's give it a try. I mean, look, we've tried it the other way, and the only people who've gotten rich are the rich. What? Well, anyway.
Yeah.
But Bill, come on, you and me together. We're going down to Starbucks and we're going to get it for free.
Yeah.
Because they owe us.
It's the non-thinking, you know, gobbledygook, but it's working.
I know that's the frightening part.
Well, it's working in part because we've dumbed down our educational system. And you know, you've got even a couple of these candidates running for Congress who are socialist Democrats. They say that. And yet they can't answer any questions really about the history of this nation. They can't really talk to you about the economy and how economies function. The one in Bronx, New York, the new face of the Democrat socialists, what's her name? Ortiz.
The girl with the scary eyes.
Yeah. She's a economics major, graduating, yet she can't even discuss the budget, economics, how funding is incurred, and how do you promote and pay for these new ideas that you've got. They can't even do that because they've all been so dumbed down. But they follow the Alinsky model and they follow the game plan that's been laid out for them. It's all about passion, emotionalism, and giving to people what they want to hear. So we called it, in my generation, lying, but we don't do that anymore. We don't say that because that's old school morality. So whatever I can get away with is what's acceptable in the Alinsky model. And that's what we're seeing today, and I'm telling you, it's really playing havoc. You go to the playbook, and I'm glad you posted it, Aaron, and I hope your readers.
Those are the
wrong show.
No, but we do have, you know, in fairness, we do have a lot of people who have time to read through the things on the page, which is why I post it. If you don't have time to listen, at least read the material.
Well, I was going to say, they don't want to listen to this jibber-jabber.
People need some good old-fashioned jibber-jabber. You know, there's no fun left in the world. Not the kind where you actually have to have a brain to get the jokes.
No.
My favorite kind of fun.
I like Seinfeld. The show about nothing.
Exactly.
I mean, just, you know.
It was made for us.
But I'm right there. I watch it.
I know.
But I'm glad you posted that, and I want to encourage people to please go on your site and please look at that 49-page playbook. It is an actual playbook that I was able to obtain right as it was being released to the adherents of the Social Democratic Party and all that. And so I was fortunate to get the actual copy, which I've sent to you, and I was able to send it selectively out to candidates and to certain selected people like GOP chairmen and things like that, that I knew were trying to fight the good fight, and they were losing.
And when we come, hey Lyle, when we come back, we're going to definitely get into that, because honestly, if you read this one thing, we're going to contest every effort at every level of government to limit rights, rescind protections, entrench inequality, redistribute wealth upwards, or in any other way fundamentally undermine the tenets of egalitarianism that must serve as the bedrock of our democracy. There's your intro to the playbook. We'll be right back with Dr. Lyle Rapacki. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Suspicious introduction.
I'm afraid to say anything
now. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
No one we've ever known thinks we're doing this correctly. This is all just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And don't associate
nothing to
with
see here, move
anybody.
Along.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're listening to the second hour of We the People Radio. This is not a show about nothing, although it kind of started out that way last hour. But you know what? There's a lot of high drama and a lot of tension in the world, and you know... We don't need to bring you more of it. That's just silly. We can talk about serious subjects without going mental.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
Hey, Lyle.
Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry. Yeah. I dozed off.
So our hostage this hour is is the indomitable Dr. Lyle Rapacki, who despite his bad introduction last hour, happens to be a private sector intelligence behavioral analysis. Well, that explains why he's hanging out with us, and threat assessment specialist. We're part of his experiment.
It's not going well.
He is
right
still
now.
Studying to see if there's any intelligence here.
Intelligence. Oh, my goodness. Well, so on a like more painful note, so we're talking about this playbook, this 49-page playbook that these guys put together. So, okay, before we gloss over it, let's see, the partner organizations for the playbook were Media Matters, everyone loves them, American Bridge 21st Century, totally never heard of them, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Doesn't that sound great? Except their acronym is CRU, and they're horrible, and some other outfit called Share Blue. I could definitely do commercials for those people. So what do you know? I mean, we all know about Media Matters and these idiots on CRU, but what's American Bridge 21st Century? Is it worth knowing, or do we care?
No, I mean, it's part of the Agenda 21 crowd, or the agenda for the 21st century, where, again, you've got being discussed as if it was a normal process here. We don't need borders. We're all part of the human community. And so let's do away with our northern and southern border. Let's bring everybody together. And there's the North American Union, or NAFTA, North American Free Trade Association. And that's what Obama and Bush and Clinton and Bush and every, I mean, they've all been involved in this thing for a number of years since Reagan. Reagan was really the last president we had, who, in my opinion, who promoted Americanism, the sovereignty of this nation, and the ideals by which this nation was founded. Since then, it's been a quick downhill slide into a one-world government, and this is where everybody starts tuning out again and putting on their tinfoil hats or saying, we have them on. But you know something, I've fought this battle for 10 years with numbers of legislators, not just in my home state of Arizona, but in other western states, where I would give briefings on matters, be it from border to the influx of Islamic to other people coming in, and briefing them, briefing these legislators and others, elected and law enforcement officials, saying, you're not getting any help from Washington. I mean, you'll get promises, and you'll get lots of people coming out and speaking, but you're not getting anything tangible, because the goal is to collapse the United States. And once the United States collapses like a domino, you'll see a number of other Western countries, smaller. Australia would be one, for instance. New Zealand would be another. And my good friend, Trevor Loudon, who you should have on your show. If not, I'll see to it that...
He actually slept over at our house.
Did Trevor come over?
Yeah, he is a riot. He really is a riot.
I won't let him in anymore. My wife and I won't let him in our house anymore. His wife's allowed, so we knew her before.
We didn't meet the wife. We let him in.
Oh, no, she's darling. She's wonderful. But Trevor...
he's a wild man.
No, I love Trevor. I'll make sure that Trevor knows that I said all this for anybody who's listening.
Not if I can get
Trevor,
to him first.
We just had a great time for a good couple of years when he was out on tour, because he and I spoke in a couple of places together. So we traveled together, and we just, I call him my little Kiwi friend, and that's what he refers to me. And he's from down under, New Zealand.
And he's like a whirling dervish. I mean,
and you know something? He's very blunt, very candid, because he says if we lose America, I lose my nation, New Zealand, my country, because it's America that's keeping this push to a new world order from happening. And that's another reason when Trump came in, he was not part of the crowd, he was not part of the club, he was not part of the swamp, he was not part of the elites. And so he comes in and he throws into muck their entire game plan. The game plan was for Obama to do absolute destruction to this nation, and then for Hillary to finish it off. And I'm not, you know, there's just so much evidence. I won't even respond to people who go, well, I disagree. That's fine. One of my mentors taught me that it's difference of opinion that makes horse races. And I think Mark Twain was right when he said that. And I'm fine with that. We're going to hear on this discussion is you're seeing actually a playbook that involves the media, involves policy debate, public debate, like we talked about in the last hour, and anything that can be done to neutralize Trump and his policies, anything that can be done.
Well, it sounds like it's funny, classic, though, because you look at, like, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, the CREW people.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so that sounds terrific.
Right.
And then here's the mission of CREW. So Trump will here's their mission. Trump will be afflicted by a steady flow of damaging information, new revelations,
correct,
and an inability to avoid conflict. The Trump administration,
correct,
will be forced to defend illegal conduct in court. Powerful industries and interest groups will see their influence wane. And then dark money will be a political liability in key states. So this is very...
Yeah, there doesn't have to be illegal activity, but he's still going to have to defend the accusations, and that's what they're doing.
You're seeing that you're right, Bill, and you're seeing that played out with the Mueller investigation now. It's all trumped up, no pun intended. It's totally illegal. It was appointed illegally. The whole thing is just an absolute three-ring circus. But look at the amount of attention, money, coverage it's gotten. And the root of it is it's all illegal. And that would be another show. And I'd be glad to do that with, and bring in another colleague who can address it, excuse me, even more critically than I can. But it's a total sham. But it's following a game plan that is to neuter Trump and his administration. And if you read that playbook, one of the things that your readers, I'm sorry, your listeners will see as it starts to come out between the pages is that they're promoting even the slightest bit, the slightest bit of neutralization. Now just, you know, just pause there for a second. They're promoting the slightest bit of neutralization to Trump is a good thing. Well, you don't have to take on the whole enchilada. Let's just keep chipping away at it.
Yeah.
And what you're seeing, for instance, in this one area that Aaron brought up, the investigation, well, let's go after Trump's kids. Let's go after Mike Flynn. Let's go after this guy. Let's go after that guy. Let's just keep chipping away. And what that will do is it will isolate Mr. Trump, and it will eventually, that's the game plan,
well, and then
neuter him.
You have kind of the, the people who don't have any logic left, they had that removed. And so they, of course, are all, you have to impeach him because Manafort was convicted on 8 counts. And it's like, okay,
that's nothing
so,
to do with
so you obviously don't know what those 8 counts were. We've got to take a quick break, but that kind of stuff drives me nuts. But these guys get away with it because the other people are,
they're too stupid
to figure it out. And these are grown-ups.
We've dumbed down 2 generations. They don't know our Constitution. They don't know.
Yep. But these are people who just
they don't know that.
Don't have any logic.
If Mr. Manafort did something, that was 8-10 years ago, prior to Trump even being president.
I know.
How do you impeach him for,
It's lunacy. That's the part that's just crazy.
And the scary part is this can be applied to anybody in office. I mean, this is not about Trump.
Well, this is obviously a big selling feature for running for president, you know. Hey, doesn't it seem like a terrific goal?
Bill, with all due respect, and I mean this sincerely, I'm going to disagree with you. What it means is it can be used or utilized against any one of us.
Yes.
Oh, that's what I mean. That's exactly right. So that,
well, not just people in office. No, sir.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they can
just regular citizens.
You. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, so.
All right, let's take a break, and then let's get right back on this, because we're going to run out of time. We got so much to cover.
Yeah. People are like, yeah, because you goofed around.
Yeah, because you won't show
up. It's just like when we were kids. Yeah. You goofed around, didn't you?
I didn't goof around.
No,
you on my show.
You were lured in. We'll be right back with our guest, Dr. Lyle Rapacki, and you're listening to We the People.
Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
When everyone has gone, some are satin, some are steel, some are silk and some are leather. They're the faces of the stranger, but we love to try them on.
But you know what? Exactly what we were talking about before the break, that they could come for all of us. And guess who's going to do the dirty work? I think we just played their song.
Yep.
Because we...
No, that's such a great point, is if they can get away with what they're doing to anybody in politics, they can do it to anybody else.
Okay, so Lyle, when they put this little playbook deal together, this was just for them. Obviously, this wasn't supposed to go to everybody else.
But this was published a year ago, or no, it was published back in
they had it at their little conference in January of 2017.
Correct.
And
that's correct, Aaron.
So, just in fanning through it, I mean, how much of it have they been able to actually stay on track with? Because it looks to me like a lot of it.
Yeah, quite a bit. Again, your listeners, I'm encouraging them. I know you are too. As they go through this, I think they'll be able to see very clearly just how much has already been implemented. And there's the playbook. Now go back a year, almost a year to the day. If the conservative side, if those that were standing up for American ideals, principles, values, if they had copies of this and they were able to confront it, I wonder where we would be today. It's a question we're not going to answer because we can't, but that's what I tried to do. I tried to get it into decision makers' hands and saying, y'all might want to take a look at this. Now, just before the show, no pun intended, just before the show, I took the same thing that I sent y'all, and I sent it back out to several key individuals, and I said, you'll notice this is a year old, but I pray that you will now look at this with a new set of eyes and realize just how much has been already accomplished. You know, part of my frustration, and now I'm using you as a venting, is that I can work hard, and colleagues of mine can work hard. A Jerome Corsi, for instance, comes up with some phenomenal stuff, and you get it out there, but people they don't get it, they don't read it, they don't look at it, or they are overwhelmed, like it says in this playbook, and they're playing off of that. They're playing off the fact that Americans are overwhelmed. They're playing off the fact that Americans are inundated with information everywhere we go, from our cell phones to everything else. And it's information overload. So if somebody is standing on the corner and they're passionately shouting about something, guess what? We're more likely to sit and listen to that individual than somebody on the other corner talking about it in a suit, nice, polite, proper, and all of that. It's just human nature. When you talk about studying behavioral analysis and looking at the psychological aspects of how to reach people, that's kind of what I do also. And so people by nature are more prone to someone who's passionate, emotional.
Well, and
that's what they're promoting here. And they're also promoting very clearly that Trump will be defeated either through impeachment or at the ballot in 2020. I'm reading, I don't know what page, but I'm reading it. Okay. When you all go through it, you'll see it. It's right there.
Bold. It's right there at the beginning. And, you know, the other thing, too, that's just a given in human nature is that what we see with conservatives when they're, and I think that's why Trump's rallies are drawing so many people and why they're actually important. Because conservative people don't like an endless just barrage of nonsense. I mean, they just get frustrated and disengaged. You know, it's like, all right, if you guys are just going to be nonsense, I'm out. And that's what we risk in the midterm.
Further. Yeah, I'm going to go a step further, Aaron, because I've advised several candidates in several states on critical matters. And after, you know, months, you earn their trust, and you'll get a phone call, or you know they'll talk to you personally, and they'll say, "Hey, how do I get my message across?" And when they ask, because that's not my area with them, they have campaign managers, and that's not what I do. But they're asking me how, you know, we've read your stuff. It's consistent for, you know, all these months, maybe a year. Now I'd like to ask you something, you know, maybe off of your area, but I value what you have to say, and that's quite a compliment. I say to them, take a look at Mr. Trump. He's not concerned about whether he wins or not. I know that sounds funny, but he's not.
Yeah.
He's concerned about doing the right thing for the right reasons and let it be settled out there amongst the people. Second, he's not afraid to confront the lies and the deceptions. Third, he has fun doing it, and he's not worried about it if it's following the same old pattern. That's one of the things that's thrown all these people off, is that Mr. Trump doesn't follow any of the patterns, any of the traditional
ways. He's not presidential.
For anybody.
That's what drives him all crazy.
For president, for anything. I mean, just when you think you kind of have him figured out a little bit, man, he's just... And so what I've told these candidates is you can't fake it, because I don't think Mr. Trump is, but if you're more concerned about getting elected than saying the right thing, then I really don't want to be involved with you, because once you get elected, it will be all downhill after that, and your whole focus will be re-election, bigger office, corner office, whatever.
Yeah, and I'm kind of hoping that his way of leading is going to kind of start a trend, you know, where people will be more honest and say what needs to be said. I think that's the part that I think drives everybody crazy.
And Bill, I think you're right. I think it's starting to seep in a little bit. You know, Mike Huckabee, Governor Huckabee, former governor of Arkansas, Huckabee, he's pretty candid, and he's there. He's not worried about running for office. He's not worried about his next gig, and he's pretty straightforward.
And his daughter is a rock star.
Oh, Sarah! She is
a total rock star.
Yeah, and I don't think
the old block.
Yeah, she just fends them off like
think
a
about
pro.
But you know what? I said to a candidate, I got to be a little vague, but I said to a candidate, it was about 3 weeks ago, two and a half, 3 weeks ago. She asked me. We talked, and she went on and on and on. And I said, "Let me just stop you right there. Let me ask you." What are you going to do? Who will you be the morning on November 8th after the election if you lose? And she looked at me, because she's been asking me for counsel on border and some other Islamic and other intelligence matters for about 3 months. One of her senior people said, this is the guy we want because he's candid. He's not looking for an office. He's not going to accept a position if you offer it to him. He'll tell you the straight skinny and then walk away. I mean, if you accept it, fine. If you don't, hit delete. In fact, he'll tell you that. So after maybe it was 4 months, she gets a hold of me, and we happen to meet. We set it up, and she's stewing a little bit about, you know, not getting her message out and what's going to happen. And I asked her that. And she looked at me, deadpanned, and she said, I don't know. And then I said, well, then you shouldn't be elected. And she looked at me, and her senior advisor that has known me, he started to smirk, because he goes, oh, no.
Walked into the bus office.
This is like putting a red ball in front of him, and he's going, you know, just... But the other, her campaign person, was aghast. I said, look, if the totality of who you are, your identity, is being in office, then you shouldn't be in office. Because that means you will do everything you have to do to remain in office, because that's your identity. Do you look at Mr. Trump? That's not his identity. And you don't need to be a multi-billionaire, but that's not his identity. He came into office because, I will tell you, 4 years previously, he was asked to run. And I will tell you something else, and this is the truth. 4 years before that, he was asked to run. I'm going to tell you. And he said no. But 4 years ago, he's been in office a year and a half now, so go back 5.5 years. You know, he was asked to run, and he considered it. And the reason for that is because of the state of our nation and where we were going. We were on a quick decline under Obama, and there was no alternatives. And so he did actively consider it, and I'm glad he didn't do it at that time. Because
it just would have been a big mess.
That's correct.
At that time, I think we had to get the Obama thing over with.
That's correct. But I think you're so right, Aaron. And we had to bottom out in a way. And then so he runs now. He doesn't need this. What he's doing is what he said he would do: make America great. Let's restore the greatness of this nation, which then will fill out throughout the world, and other nations will benefit from it, just like they always have from America. America has been greatly, richly blessed by God. And yet part of our responsibility is to take care of other nations. And I know people don't want to hear that, but it's a fact. You go back in our time and look, and the great thinkers of our time said that. We were absolutely blessed, and part of our blessing was to make sure that others were blessed, and we were to do everything we could. Now, that's been deviated from for purposes, selfish purposes, financial purposes, but that blessing is still there. Mr. Trump's come in, and he's followed the Reagan model. You can check it out for yourself.
And it's interesting because even people who don't like the way he does things actually appreciate the results, and they do appreciate the candor. We have to take a really quick break. We're going to be back with our guest, Dr. Lyle Verbacki, now that we've stopped goofing off and we've gotten down to the meat of the matter. We're into the last half hour, so hang with us. We'll be right back. You can find this playbook and all the information about our guest at wethepeopleradio.us.
About the polar bear. Don't talk to me about the ozone layer. Ain't so much of anything these days. Feeling the air. They're running out of rhinos. What do I care? Let's hear it for the dolphin. Let's hear it for the trees. Ain't running out of nothing. They might a deep freeze. It's casual entertainment. We ain't.
These are Lyle's parties. That's what's going on at Lyle's Deep Freeze. It's got polar bears, penguins.
How did you know all that? Have you? Was that you last night at midnight talking through my?
I was planting evidence.
I heard the noise and I said, "Nah."
You said to yourself, "Self, it sounds like my deep freeze. It reminds me of a song." But honestly, that kind of stuff, I wasn't really thinking about it last night. I guess I was just thinking it's a funny song and I like it. But it really does make people, that's the kind of stuff they're doing to us. They fob that. I mean, we fob that off as humor, and because it's supposed to be humorous, and that's what they use as fact. And everybody sits there with a very serious face, you know. The polar bears are in danger. It's like they haven't been in danger for so long. I don't even remember when they stopped being in danger, but it was a long time ago.
Do you remember the person who reported on that or took the pictures of that emaciated polar bear?
Yeah, stuck out on an ice. Yeah.
Yes, yes. And he finally came out and said, no, that whole thing was made up. The polar bear actually was dying. It was old and was not able to feed itself. And that's what. But they made it into the environmental stuff. Yep.
Yeah, that was the last polar bear on Earth right there.
And these are all the same people that are running the disinformation campaign against the president.
That's correct.
This is all the same stuff. This is Earth First. We don't have any trees left anymore. God knows we burned up, probably collectively at least 1 million acres in California. I think at the bare minimum this year, and we've got fires rolling all the way to Canada. Last week I drove to Seattle. I had smoke from Northern California all the way to Seattle. So obviously we're not running out of trees. So all these things, you know, that these people push out as fact, and they expect people to just believe them.
Well, because nobody does
people
their
don't
own
check.
People don't do their own homework
and
anymore. It's easier just
problem.
To go to the TV, see what they're saying, and then comment on that, because that must be the truth.
Hey, Lyle, I read through the playbook again the other day when you'd sent it, and I thought, is there anywhere in this where they talk about having like a big bingo, thing with little balls inside that all have problems, and then every day they just let one of the balls drop, and today we're going to ramp up on the... They didn't have it in here, but I swear to God that's what they're doing. They have a little bingo thing, and it's like, today we're going to have a fit about this, you know, everybody get excited. It's just exhausting.
Well, Okay, I'm fighting right now, Bill, to stay in the more professional vein. It wouldn't take much.
Thank you. Because I'm remaining silent as well.
Come on, grab the bingo.
There's so much to say.
Oh my gosh, I'm working on this.
Stay focused.
And the people that are whatever those new countries that are listening to your show that probably will never listen again after today.
No, I love them, and they obviously enjoy fun. I hope they're learning.
No.
I hope they're learning English by listening to this, so they can get a fun version of English.
Okay, just for the record, Bill, I do not want this edited out. I'm not making fun of them. I'm going.
Just FYI, we don't edit.
Yeah, this is.
We don't know how.
Yeah, this could come back to haunt you someday, but, you know, we're being honest.
Well, I'm going to tell you that one show that we did with Claire, when she all of a sudden remembered she was gone. I think Aaron was asking a question Claire's texting me going, "Hey, have a great rest of the show. I'm gone." And I'm, "What?" And I'm listening to Aaron in my headpiece, and she's asking Claire a question, and I'm getting a text from Claire going, I'm not here. I mean, gone. And well, I haven't let her live that one down.
Nor should we.
We were on a radio show.
We should mock her endlessly.
A couple of weeks ago, and out of nowhere, I brought it. I said, you know, now make sure you ask this question before the commercial, because Claire has a history of leaving.
She's damn them at the people.
And the producer, well, not the producer. What do you go? The host. You guys. He said what? And I told. I could hear Claire.
She's like,
and so what happened then is Claire hasn't let me live that down.
We've tainted you and brought you into our web. You know, this is like conservative politics. You throw out a little fun and they will come.
Yeah. Well, in answer to your question,
the left, you throw out some anger and they're all over it.
When your listeners go back and read through this, you're going to see where they talk about serial misinformers.
Yes.
And
that comes up a lot.
Okay, what I found interesting is that they're talking about propagandists on the right. In other words, conservative, maybe social media, propagandists who are pushing a conservative propaganda line, okay? Well, as you start to go through this whole thing, the playbook, and as you begin to take a look in vivo, that's a big word, Bill, I'll explain it to you.
Thank you.
in reality, here you're seeing that they're projecting themselves into their narrative. They're saying conservatives have a tendency to be misinformers. The conservatives have a tendency to be right-wing propagandists. Well, when you begin to really study their philosophy, and after the show, guys, I'm going to send you something else. It's a 23-page playbook also, and by all means, if you find it of any value, please distribute as you feel.
Yeah, we'll post it. But Lyle, we learned this in first grade on the playground. We already learned it. I'm like rubber.
Yep.
You're glue. Bounces off me, sticks to you.
Yes. Remember? Yeah, and so what we have, and to your point, we have the left, the social democrats, the socialist democrats, the Marxists, pushing out misinformation through every channel, through every media, through every platform, through every organization that they're getting together to come against Trump and against all the things that this country has stood for. And when you have that amount of vast platforms, be it what was used to be recognized reliable media, on top of that, you've got all these organizations, hundreds of them, that are all pushing out the same narrative. Well, it has a tendency to fit the serial misinformer notification.
Look at their whole thing, you know, that Trump was a bad guy who was colluding and all that. I mean, I'm rubber and, you know, I'm like rubber, you're like glue. I mean, these guys, you know, Trump was colluding with the Russians. Oh, I'm sorry, who was colluding with the Russians? The Democratic National Committee and a lot of their candidates and all their little henchmen in the FBI and everywhere. It's just been bizarre. Like, And there are still people on the left who will call their congressman's office, just as an example, and demand that the Russia investigation be protected because it's turning up so much information. It's like, really? I mean, yeah, I don't even know how that, I don't even know how you make that, I don't even know how you make that case. But if you listen to progressive radio, which I force myself to do when I'm driving, and I listen to them, what is it, 127 Progress. It used to be 127 Left. It was, I don't know, it was just funnier for me, but anyway, they've changed it. 127 Progress. And I would really challenge conservatives out there who are frustrated by this to stop listening to your own media, people that you agree with, whatever that is, stop listening to your own stuff and listen to the other stuff. Because all of a sudden, it starts to make sense out of what these guys are doing and what they're saying. Because you already know, like for me, I already know what I think. I don't need to listen to people who think like me. I'm going to listen to the other guys and what they're telling people. And what they're telling them is, this is all real. It's critical. You got to be engaged. We got to flip these people because look at the bad stuff they've done. And look what they did last year and how they... It's like, it's all stuff they did. They don't ever provide any facts. And for some reason, that doesn't really get noticed. I'm sorry, well, my little rant. We got to take another quick break because we were tardy. Yes.
Oh, okay.
I know. No. Yes. Swift break, and we'll be right back.
Real quick. What you just said is so right on because it's all emotional.
It is all emotional. And when you listen to it, it's all kind of hysterical. And then you realize, this is what these guys are being told all the time. This is why they think like this. I don't know. It's just important to know what's happening on the other side. Otherwise, things like this playbook, you go, who would do this? Yeah, well, I can give you some ideas. So, best song ever. We'll be right back.
Well, the eagle's been flying slow, and the flag's been flying low, and a lot of people saying that America's fixing to fall. But speaking just for me, and some people from Tennessee, we got a thing or two to tell you all. This lady may have stumbled, but she ain't never failed. And if the Russians don't believe that, they can all go straight to hell. We're gonna put her feet back on the paths of righteousness, and then God bless America again. And you never did think that it ever would happen again. In America, did you? You never did think that we'd ever get together again. We're damn sure food, you were walking real proud, and we're talking real loud again. In America, you never did think that it ever would happen again.
It's the theme song of right-wing victory. Ta-da! Lyle?
Yes, ma'am.
Are you hiding with Claire? Lyle, did making fun of Claire cause your connection to be dropped?
Yes, all of a sudden I can't hear anything.
It was so quiet. I'm like, what?
I was enjoying the song.
I know, because it's a great song. I figured by this point we'd be on the upswing. But, you know, before we, you know, obviously we have 10 minutes left, but before we run out of time, I hope people really understand that this midterm, and midterms have a traditionally low turnout, and the party that is in the White House
usually
the one that loses because they have a traditionally low turnout. So anybody who thinks, oh, common sense has been restored to the world and everything is good and we're all fine and don't worry about it, please
vote.
Please go tell your friends.
You know, when Mr. Trump said this past week, this is probably the most critical election in the history of this nation, he wasn't blowing smoke or being sensational. When you look at the details of this election, there are 23 Democrat U.S. senators up for re-election. 23. There are 8 Republican senators up for re-election. do the math, folks.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to see the Senate switch really
we,
into
we could
the
smoke these
the
guys.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity.
Well, and then I think 25 governorships out of 35, 38 governorships are up for re-election. I mean, this is huge, and I forget the numbers right now for the Congress. This is a huge election coming up here in about, what, 90 days, 70 days, something like that. And if you think that the socialist Democrats have the game plan for you, and that's what you want, then you know something, you're going to go for it. You're going to vote for them, and within months after they take over in January, you'll see an entire agenda that is Marxism being introduced. I am not making this
no,
up.
No, you're going to watch taxes roll right straight up. All the laws for, you know, the good part is at least he's still in there for two more years. We can block the legislative stuff, but not at a local level. I mean, look at what Jerry Brown has done to California.
I don't know if you could or not, Aaron, because I mean he can veto something, but if they have the votes in the Congress and or the Senate, they can override the veto.
Yep.
Yeah, if they have that many. God forbid.
This ought to frighten people
because this is right here in their little Democratic playbook here. We're under the American Bridge Plan. Here's one part, vetting nominees. Now, think about all the loony people that are running, not the least of which is the bug-eyed girl in New York. And she actually won in two districts. I don't know if people know that or not. She won in the whatever district she was, 14 or 17. Anyway, she wins with the actual, that's the one she ran in. She actually was a top vote getter on the Democratic side in another district as a write-in candidate, which should scare everyone to death.
That tells you where the mentality is leaning.
So here we go. Vetting nominees. American Bridge has already set up a world-class vetting operation, the largest in the Democratic Party, to investigate the records of potential Trump nominees. Now, these guys are spending all their time looking at all of the right-wing guys. And yet they've got world-class vetting, but they don't vet their own guys.
Mm-hmm. No, they do. They're just vetting them to be socialists.
Yeah, I guess as long as you're a good socialist,
we're going to back you.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Everything's about blocking, and we'll see what happens with the Supreme Court nominee.
But that is part of the plan, like you were saying, that plan was written over a year ago. And that's exactly what's happening now.
It was written almost 2 years ago. It was written 2 years ago because it came out to them in their little circle in January.
Well, they're sticking to the plan. They're sticking to the plan, is what I'm saying. And you know, I don't think people realize that this isn't all happening by accident. This is a written plan that they're following.
I just got an email during the break from a candidate in the East. That's as close as I can to describe who and when and why and all that. Dr. Lyle, thank you so much for this. I did not know it was released a year ago by you. I wish I had. This person's running for an office and said, I began to read it, and I'm only on page 25, and I had to put it down and write this quick note to you. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And then the next paragraph is, thank you so much. If I had seen this a year ago, how much more my campaign would have addressed some of these issues in this playbook. Please be assured in the next 70 days, I will be stepping up and turning my attention to how to thwart my opponent according to his own game plan. Godspeed, and you always have a place at my table, blah, blah, blah.
Nice.
Thank you. So what was not, yeah, and I'll tell you 70 days from now who it was or something. But,
well, people think that, you know, truth, justice, and the American way is going to get them over the bar, and it's like,
It's not anymore.
You don't have to lie or cheat, but if you're just a taxpayer out there, you know, you're just somebody out there looking at all this. You've never really had any, you've never run for office. You've never worked for an elected official. You never worked on a campaign. And you think probably everybody's corrupt. Honestly, go work for a local candidate. Help them make phone calls. Get involved, and you'll find out if they're good guys or bad guys. You'll know everything by offering to help. It's a great way to do something other than be irritated. You know, God knows there's plenty to be irritated about right now.
Okay, so now what do you want to talk about?
I was doing what I do to Bill, which is when I just look at him and he's like,
What? No, we got 3 minutes, Lyle. You wrap it up.
We have 3 minutes.
Swing for the fences.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Always. I don't know how many times I've been on the show, and this will probably be the last time. But anyway.
I can tell you how many, because I list, by the way, just for those people who are curious, I have those listed, 1, 2, 3, 6,
really?
Back into October of 2016, and some of those are just with you, and some are with, well, we're supposed to be with Clara, but she's not on, and different people, but we've done a lot of different topics, and we always have a really good time.
we do, and I remember one time, a little bit before that, wasn't it, Aaron? We had Senator Crandall on, boy, that was a heavy topic. We got lots of emails on that one because I took it out of your – you send it to me usually afterwards, and then I post it or send it out. And that really picked up a lot of attention. I want to thank you both for that. And thanks for today. I know the first hour, the people in Uganda and the Netherlands and wherever else, I don't know, New Jersey.
They'll be like, what were they doing?
Yeah, they're like, what is this show? Get it off the air.
You know, though, there's a lot of – you know, it seems like everybody is angry about everything. And
isn't it true?
I don't think anybody learns anything when they're mad. I don't think they make good decisions when they're angry. I just don't think there's any real value there. And getting mad doesn't actually advance the cause. So I've had people ask me, you know, well, you don't seem very upset about this. You know, why doesn't this make you angry? I'm like, well, I mean, there's going to be more stupidity tomorrow. So if today's the day that I lose my mind, I mean, I'm no good tomorrow. And I think at some point we have to all kind of figure that out. You know, this isn't the hill we want to die on. They have worse plans for us in the future. And we don't make an effective opposition.
You know,
resistance is all hogged up. So.
If it's okay with you guys, and you don't even have to answer me on the air.
Oh, we'd love to answer on the air.
Well, if we could pick up on the same topic, but I bring far more to it. I'll bring an associate on who works for me as I have to be careful here, research associate. How's that?
Sure.
And he's in Washington, back and forth with me all the time. I think if I brought Tony on and we discuss the same topic, if you will, but with a lot more meat on the bone, I think there wouldn't be as much frivolity, because I think some of the stories that I think...
So we purged the frivolity this week and we can go on to serious stuff?
Validated, I think would be very sobering, and I think people would realize how important this election is.
Right. Okay, how about next week or the week after, and we'll get it figured out?
Yeah.
And that way you can't tell people I called you the hour before, you know?
Well, it all totally depends if somebody else is available.
We got to blow. We're into the disclaimer. We love you. We'll talk to you in the next week or so. Happy Labor Day.
Thanks,
Lyle.
Bye.
Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.